Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Blask, and everything sucks, especially my internet right now. For some reason, my laptop would not connect to my home Wi-Fi. And I thought I might have to stream connected to my personal hotspot from my iPhone. But I finally got it to connect. So here we are. We missed Mark Briscoe versus The Butcher. Mark Briscoe won. Gosh, it was touch and go there for a while in my brain, whether or not I thought Mark Briscoe would beat The Butcher ahead of his ladder war with Chris Jericho. It's so touch and go. But now we get to see Kyle O'Reilly in action versus Aaron Solo. I haven't seen him in a while. SmackDown had one really dumb thing on it, and then the announcement of a terrible thing. But everything else on it was okay. Solo Sikoa came out to start SmackDown, and he said that he's the tribal chief. I don't know. He said a bunch of crap. Doesn't really matter. And then he was interrupted by Jey Uso and like, oh, thank God. Thank God Jey showed up on SmackDown because it guarantees that he's going to lose the IC title. If not on Monday, then very soon, because for sure he is going to lose the title because the new bloodline cost him it. Let's really cross our fingers and manifest that, that Bron Breakker beats Jey Uso on Monday because Jacob Fatu shows up to cost Jey Uso the title. He came in and he basically said, I'm not here because of Jimmy or Roman. I'm just here because I hate the way you're dividing the family. Solo says, I'm not dividing anybody. I'm trying to unite the family. All everybody's got to do is acknowledge me, and then we'll all be united. And then Jey Uso said a bunch of stuff. He says oos to oos, like instead of face to face. He really can't be a serious person ever. But then he says that if Jacob Fatu doesn't stop giving me the evil eye, then I'm going to kick his ass. And Solo Sikoa has to hold him back. So Jacob Fatu is absolutely showing up on Monday to cost Jey Uso the title, which is why Jey Uso ends up joining forces with Roman and Jimmy. That's a thing that's definitely going to happen. So we're very happy about that. We don't want the Yeet Man to have the title any longer than he has to, and this is long enough. So he'll lose the title on Monday. But then backstage, he comes across Roman and Jimmy, who show up, and he has a big smile for Jimmy, which is weird because he was like, get the fuck out of my face on Monday. But on Friday, he's totally, it's his twin. It's fine. The reason why he had to be nice to Jimmy was so that we can see a contrast with him being, he's smiling at Jimmy, but then being mean to Roman, because we have to understand that, like, Jay's a nice guy. He's nice to Jimmy, but he doesn't like that Roman Reigns. There's a contrast there. You understand? So the story is easier for the rubes to digest. We have to belie the fact that he didn't want to see Jimmy at all on Monday. But on Friday, they're old pals. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. But for the rubes, they have to understand that it's not Jimmy that Jey hates, really. It's Roman. And so Jey says to Roman, no yeet, which I'm like, I agree with you for the first time. No yeet. And then he leaves and Roman's like, you see what I mean? He can't be trusted. And then later Jimmy's like, Roman says, I'm going to fix this. And Jey says, Jimmy says, how are you going to fix this? He says, I'm going to fix it by acknowledging Solo. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like that's going to happen. And guess what? I was right. It didn't happen. So they didn't give me. Sean needs to start putting up the SmackDown rundowns again, because I need them. I need the SmackDown rundowns because I don't remember what the things that happen in the order that they happen. So I'm just going to talk about them in the order that I think of them. So, there's a weird little, there's two triple threats tonight, and the winners of those will face each other next week, and the winner of that will face the tag champs. So the two triple threats are as follows. They're not back-to-back on the show, but they are back-to-back in my brain, and so I'm going to talk about them right now. The back-to-back is the DIY, Street Profits, and the Yes Boys. Pretty Deadly is what they're called, not in my brain. But the Yes Boys end up both getting pinned at the same time. But, of course, only one of them is legal. So Tommaso Ciampa pins the legal one, and Montez Ford pins the not legal one. And Jess Carr, the referee, is smart enough to know which one of them is legal. Now, I don't think this makes the Street Profits look dumb, because if you see the way the whole thing unfolded, like, they were about to do a giant move to both guys, and one guy just got knocked to the outside. So they did the big double team move to one of the guys. And at that point, it's impossible to know that all you can tell is Yes Boy Blonde and Yes Boy Brunette. By the way, Kyle O'Reilly beat Aaron Solo, and now he's going to call out Okada. The one person that actually does look dumb is the legal Yes Boy for diving into the ring to break up a pinfall on the not legal Yes Boy. So I feel like that's, you shouldn't do that, because that left him wide open for a meet in the middle of DIY. DIY wins the first triple threat. And of course we already know, because we're not dumb, we're not rubes, the MCMG is definitely going to win the other triple threat, Jamie Hayter being interviewed backstage by Renee about why Penelope Ford attacked her. Jamie says the women in this country are all backstabbing bitches. Company, not country, although probably both. Yeah. Jamie Hayter is going to be in action tomorrow on Collision. Gosh, I wonder whether or not Penelope Ford will appear. We got Anna Jay versus Trisha Dora next. So I got to speed through some stuff so I can waste time on commentary with Linda. Hey, MCMG is here. Their music, of course, sucks ass, because of course it does. They look good, but nobody in that fucking building knew who the fuck they were. Because, listen, if you want the bag, if you want to secure the WWE money and maybe get a WrestleMania moment and slide right into a cushy coaching career after like a 2-year run on the main roster, if that is what you want, then absolutely sign with WWE. I don't think anybody could really begrudge you that. However, if what you want, if what is most important to you is showing up for the first time on a televised episode of the company that you sign with, and everybody in the building knows who the fuck you are and why it's a giant fucking deal, then don't sign with WWE, because all their fans in the building are fucking rubes. Nobody there knew who the fuck Motor City Machine Guns were. They got involved by the end of the match, but at the beginning they were like, who the hell are these guys? Are they from NXT? So Motor City Machine Guns gets to look really great. They get the pinfall on, I think it was Berto. And next week, we get MCMG versus DIY. This is very good. DIY absolutely should be the first team on the main roster to face MCMG 2-on-2. That's a thing that should happen. I believe probably Street Profits are going to turn heel and cost DIY that match. But MCMG probably then ends up beating the Tonga Tongas and becoming the champions, because Roman and Jimmy will get involved and cost the Tonga Tongans. And then we're probably going to wind up seeing either Roman and Jimmy versus the Tonga Tongas, or maybe even Jay and Jimmy versus the Tonga Tongas at Signs of Time. So those are the things I think are going to be good. Oh yeah, their new shirt is the new shirt is terrible. It's really terrible. Rat-a-tat-tat. You know how all the kids say rat-a-tat-tat. What else? Oh, hey, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson are now on the main roster, I guess. I don't know. Lash Legend had a one-on-one match with Piper Niven and won. She beat Piper Niven. I mean, there was a distraction, but like, she was the one who got distracted, not Piper. So she beat Piper clean. Like, I think Lash Legend has improved in a crazy amount since 2021, which means she's about halfway to where she needs to be a person on the main roster. Because she was awful 3 years ago, and she's improved a great deal, and she still has three more years at the current rate of improvement to be where she would need to be on the main roster. But she's going to be on the main roster. And if you think, oh, well, Last Legend isn't ready, what about Jakara Jackson? Jakara Jackson isn't even ready to be considered not ready for the main roster. Plus, the Metaphor are a great act, and there's a lot more you could do with them in NXT. It's a dumb idea to bring Jakara Jackson and Last Legend to the main roster, but that's what they're going to do, because everybody who runs shit in WWE is dumb. All the dumb-dumbs run that fucking place. Deanna and Taya are great together. They need to get some more people in their team. Deanna and Taya are great together. They just need more girls on their squad. All right. Hold on. So there's Maria May. Excuse me, sorry. Something in my throat there. Maria May is on commentary here. She's on commentary for the match between, let's see, who it is. It Anna Jai? It's Anna Jai, yes. Anna Jai. Anna Jai is here. So Anna Jai is here for her match. Oh, she's got stars on her boobs and a star on her hoo-ha. Now listen, I don't know. Perhaps maybe you want to draw the eye to the boobs and the hoo-ha. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, back in my day, Lord knows I would want to draw the eye of all the gentlemen callers to my boobs and my hoo-ha. But not anymore. Not anymore. Please do not look there. That's what I would say to all my gentlemen callers now. But she's gonna face the Trish Aidera. Aidera. That's Aidera. It's Joy versus Aidera. So Trish Aidera is gonna be here versus the Anna Jai. this should be a very hard-hitting match because both of these ladies hit very hard. Hey, remember when the infantry showed up on the Collision and cut a promo on FTR and then got a victory over House of Black and then looked very good in matches on Collision on the main roster? And then they're now back in the ROH, back in the row, and they're not really doing anything. And they've been leapfrogged by the outjobbers, as have pretty much everybody else. Isn't that a travesty? Anyway, back to the action with the ladies here. It's the Honor Jai and the Trish Adera. All right, here we go. They lock up there in the middle of the ring. Honor Jai walks it back over to the ropes here. Oh, we got a waist lock here, fought out of by Adera. Oh, she throws the butt in the hoo-ha. You never want to do that, though. And then, hold on. Little snapmare. Maintain control of the wrists. Stepping through. Oh, and now squishing. Just dropping the butt right on the top of the back of the neck. And also, this is a very unorthodox. Oh, and a pinning combination here. Kicked out of by the Honor Jai. Grab the wrist again, little wrist thing. Roll the rope, roll over the shoulder. But reversed by Honor Jai. Oh, and a big butt to the face. A butt to the hoo-ha, a butt to the face there by Honor Jai. Oh, and a snap suplex. It's much nicer. See, the brutalities knows what she's talking about here. The butt to hoo-ha is how you get a UTI. That's true. That's true. It happened to a girlfriend of mine. Butt to hoo-ha is how you get the UTI. So then bring it up there, the Honor Jai. And a big elbow strikes traded here by Jai and Adera. Oh, run through a big shoulder block. Oh, and she waves to Maria Mai. Oh, no. Oh, and a knee to the gut there by Honor Jai. Throws her into the corner, follows up with a big spinning kick there. And a snapmare. And now what are we doing here after the snapmare? There we go. Oh, and a running drop kick to the side of the noggin there. You don't want to, honestly, there. That could lead to a concussion. So what's going on here? We're going into the picture-in-picture. This is where I get to watch my commercials. Big ticket movies, home of the biggest blockbusters. Now, I'm going to try to watch the action here. Honor Jai put in the corner by Trish Adera and a big chop to the clavicle. And then, another chop here from Honor Jai taking charge. And she gets a big overhand chop and a big forearm to the jaw. Let's run her into this other corner here, smash her head into the turnbuckle pad. And then we're gonna yank up against the thing. And then, a big overhand chop by Adera. Oh, look, is that Fruit Loops? You know, it's been so long since I had Fruit Loops. It's been since I had all my own teeth. You know, those sugary cereals, that's what'll do it to you. It'll knock all your teeth out. Is there any product that Kevin Hart will not shill for? Now he's shilling for Chase. But that everyone just wants Kevin Hart to shill for them. Like, there's I've seen so many products. They're like, oh, Kevin Hart likes us. Kevin Hart likes us, so you should totally bank with us because Kevin Hart likes us. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't choose my products and services based on whether or not Kevin Hart is a fan of that product and or service. A Krabby Patty collab burger from Wendy's? What is this? Oh, the SpongeBob. The SpongeBob SquarePants. My great niece loves the SpongeBob SquarePants. Can't get enough of them. Watches every episode. She is 35 years old. Okay, let's see more action here. Still on the rampage. Trishadora putting the boots on a Jai in the corner here. Everyone in the ring is greatly aware that this is the time of the match that we are in picture-in-picture. Because nobody here is doing any work of any caliber whatsoever. That basically just doing some kind of... I take it back. That's a very interesting little hold here from the Trish Adara. No, they left the pick the small picture. Oh, look, it's Frank Thomas, a.k.a. the Big Hurt, a.k.a. the Big Hunk. You know what he uses Nugenics, which is a wonderful thing, because not only is it a top testosterone supplement for men, but also Nugenics rhymes with eugenics, which was a big thing that Hitler loved. And when you're trying to sell a product, make sure it rhymes with a thing that Hitler loved. Now, obviously, it's been a very long time since I took any advertising classes. But the first rule was, name your product so it rhymes with a thing that Hitler loved. Because then everybody will love to buy the product. Because of the positive connotations with a thing that rhymes with a thing that Hitler loved. Okay, good. Oh, there we go. The punch in there. No, big forearm shivers to the clavicle area from Anna Jai to Adara. Adara throws a punch, ducked by Anna Jai, runs through again. Oh, no, and a big flying forearm. A diving elbow to the jaw from Anna Jai. Trish Adara trying to fight away here. I don't know if she'll be able to do it. Oh, throws him off the top turnbuckle. Anna Jai here runs through. Oh, and a little. Oh. Is that a moonlight driver there? No. Kicked out by Trish Adara. And Anna Jai pulling her up deck to her feet. Oh, big hook kick. Still maintains wrist control. Oh, goes for another pit. Oh, that was a German suplex while kneeling. I've never seen that before. Trish Adara looks fantastic in this match. Oh, there you go. Oh, no. Trying to go for the uranagi or something like that, but big elbows from Trish Adara and a huge punch from Trish Adara to the jaw of Anna Jai, gets her up into a suplex bridging pin combination. No, kicked out of by Anna Jai. Anna Jai struggling to get to her feet. Trish Adara tries to pick her up into a German suplex. No, reversed. Another butt to the hoo-ha from Anna Jai. Oh, what a backstabber. A backstabber. And then picks her up. Oh, and a gory bomb. The flatliner gory bomb there by Anna Jai, pinning Trish Adara. That's it. What else happened on SmackDown? Oh, Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton were supposed to have a match. Versus Bayley and Naomi, but Tiffany has the flu. So there is a segment backstage where she was on the phone with Tiffany and says, I guess the match has to be canceled. And Nick Aldis says, no, it's not being canceled. You have to find a new partner. And Nia Jax says, where am I going to find another partner? And Nick Aldis says, I don't know. It's up to you. And then in walks Candice LeRae, who's like, I happen to be the new speed champion. So why don't the champ and the champ team together versus Naomi and Bianca? And so they do. And Candice LeRae actually ends up getting the pin. Now, Candice and Indy, Indy is ringside with Candice. Harley is doing really good. She's wearing a leather jacket with studs all over it that and chains that says "Simp for the numeral four me." Simp for me is what the jacket says. So, Harley's great, by the way. But Candice and Indy have been trying to be babyface whenever they've been on TV recently. But instead, now they're helping out Nia Jax, and like Indy is like throwing Bayley into the ring post. And then rolling her into the ring so that Candice can get a pinfall on her. And Nia doesn't like that. Nia doesn't like that Candice got the pinfall, but she does like that she beat Naomi and Bayley. So I guess that's something. Hey, two women's matches on SmackDown. That's good. That's good. Even if one of them has Lash Legend in it for some fucking reason, it's good that we have two women's matches on SmackDown. That's a good thing. Let's see here. Backstage earlier, there was Byron Saxton had an interview Andrade and Carmelo at the same time, and they immediately started brawling, and Byron had to get out of the way, and everyone had to separate them. And somewhere along the way, Carmelo found a chain, wrapped it around his wrist and his fist, and was punching him with it. And then they asked old Nick Aldis, hey, so what are we going to do about this big, you know, game 7 match between them? And I was like, cage match, right? It's a cage match. I mean, that's what you do, right? To like settle everything else. It's just there, right there. No escape. This is what we're going to do. And he's like, no, I have a much better idea. You know that terrible stipulation we've been inserting into all matches across all the brands? We did one for a Raw big pay-per-view match. We did two in NXT for no fucking reason. Well, we're going to do one on SmackDown too. So let's do a special guest referee match for the final match between Andrade and Carmelo, which means by definition, there is a 1,000,000% chance of the final Game 7 match between Carmelo and Andrade being by far the worst match that they have, because no special guest referee match is better than a match that has a regular fucking referee in it, especially if LA Knight is going to be the special guest referee. Because they both hate him. So they're both going to be baiting him, yelling at him whenever he doesn't do a fast count fast enough. He's going to hit both of them with BFTs at one point in the match. And whoever wins the match, the win will be tainted, because it will not happen without LA Knight choosing which one of the two guys is going to win the match. Why? Fucking why would you choose to make a match worse by putting a special guest referee in it? Oh, I know, to pop the rubes. Yeah, this was the match between Mrs. the Match Corey was referring to the special guest referee match, yes. Roman comes out, asks Columbia, South Carolina to acknowledge him, perhaps for the last time. And then he calls out Solo, who comes out and he says, why are you doing this, man? I'm back. I want to return us to prominence. I want titles around our waists. There's a three-way tag team match on Rampage next week. Well, why is there a triple threat tag team match on Rampage next week? Toa Leona is talking. Toa Leona could talk. Wow. I don't even know what's going on. So he says, I want us to go back to the way it was, further proving my point that if Roman gets the Ulafala back, he just wants to be the old Roman. He just wants to be the guy that we were built to hate for 4 fucking years. He doesn't want to be a good guy now. He wants to be the dude in charge, the dictator that he was before. I don't understand. They got to do more work in making him into a good guy because he's not a good guy right now. Anyway, Solo's like, see, I knew. Like he says, oh, so we can be all the things that you want, but we're going to do it. If you acknowledge me, you got to acknowledge me. And like Roman's like, oh, fine, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you, okay? I acknowledge you. It's like, no, you got to mean it. And then Roman's like, yells at him about something. He snaps and he's like, see, I knew you were not a good guy. I knew you were not a good guy. And guess what? Neither am I. Suddenly snaps his fingers, and it takes forever for the Tonga Tongas and Jacob Fatu to bring out Jimmy, who's been beat up backstage. And then they come into the ring, and they gang up on Roman. They beat the hell out of him. And eventually they have him, like, held down and kneeling in front of Solo. And Solo raises the thumb to do the Samoan spike. And I thought we were going to get, this is me, Ooze. Day one-ish. I thought we were going to get Jay running in. But I guess Jay already left the building, so... He ends up beating the fuck out of Roman Reigns. I still think that Jay is going to be cost the title, the IC title, by Jacob Fatu on Raw. Maybe I'm hoping for it too much, but I really think that's what they're going to do. That'll be great because it'll very neatly wrap up that whole story, and then we'll have Jay joining the good bloodline to face the bad bloodline. So Kyle O'Reilly versus. Now, Kyle O'Reilly versus Okada, even though there's no chance in hell that Okada loses, that's going to be one of the best matches in Battle of the Belts history. Kyle O'Reilly versus Okada is going to be one of the best matches in Battle of the Belts history. But there's no chance Okada loses. Obviously, it's already been taped, so we know that. So, The other thing that happened on SmackDown was the first thing that happens is we see two butlers. I don't even know what the fuck else to call them. Two dudes in tuxedos and white gloves carrying a very long, looks like a guitar case, I don't know, out of the back of an SUV into the building, and some security guard opens it up, and inside is the most hideous fucking belt anyone's ever seen. It's just glitter. It's fucking bedazzled. It looks like shit. It looks like fucking bedazzled shit is what this belt looks like. The crown jewel belt. And then later, it's brought out to the ring and put on a fucking table in the middle of the ring so that Cody can come out and be like, this belt is so important. The most important thing ever, this belt. Look how gorgeous the belt is. The belt is so gorgeous and so important. Its gorgeousness is only matched by its importanceness. Think of if one were to think of this belt, think of the gorgeousness and the importanceness on the same level, and that level is infinity. It has infinity gorgeousness and infinity importanceness. That is how important and gorgeous this belt is. That's all he fucking said. That's all he said. And also, then he also said why it was so important to him to win it, so that his daughter would love him more. I don't think I'm wrong in interpreting what he said was, I'm going to do this for my daughter back home, so she will have more pride in her father. If he goes to a fucking dictatorship that spent billions of dollars in blood money to have a contract where this company goes over there twice a year, and then I'm going to win this made-up belt that means fucking nothing, and because of that, she's going to be more proud of her old man than she would be if I didn't do any of this shit. That's what he basically said. And people wonder why I hate this character that Cody Rhodes is playing. By the way, I'm pretty sure this character he's playing is just the actual Cody Rhodes. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by saying this character he's playing is the fucking Pitts, lying to us about how fucking important and or gorgeous this hideous fucking blood money belt is. And then he says, I'm going to go to Raw, and I'm going to invite Gunther, the champion, to come to SmackDown next week so we can both stand in the ring next to the gorgeous important belt, and then he can tell me why he wants to win it so much. Implying that whatever reason Gunther would have to win the gorgeous important belt, it's somehow less than his reason, which is to make his daughter love him more. But that's not even the worst part of this whole segment, which was ass. The whole segment was ass. The worst part of this segment was that Cody kept saying, oh, if only there was a way that Harley Race could have fought Bruno Sammartino. He names certain companies, WCCW, WWWF, NWA. He starts naming all these territories, all these promotions. If only this storied champion from this promotion could have faced this storied champion from this promotion. We can only dream of what that might have been like, but now we know what it will be like, this dream match between me and Gunther, between the champion of SmackDown and the champion of Raw. I'm sorry, do you mean the same fucking thing that happened every year at Survivor Series for 5 years or however long they fucking did Grand Supremacy? How could you possibly compare two warring promotions champions fighting each other in 1978? How can you possibly compare that to the Monday guy and the Friday guy of the same promotion fighting each other in a dictatorship for the ugliest fucking belt in Christendom? How can you possibly compare the two with a straight face? And the fact that he can compare the two with a straight face means that dude is the biggest fucking liar in the sports history. And people wonder why I hate this version of Cody Rhodes. Oh, by the way, also they showed this video of Kevin Owens, the one he put on Twitter today, or Instagram, wherever the fuck it was originally, where he was talking in his car about how I've been with WWE for 10 years and I want to leave. I don't want to stay here. And the sad thing is that up until this particular video about how dare Randy Orton choose Cody Rhodes over me? How dare they suspend me for standing up for myself to Cody Rhodes? I don't want to be here anymore. Until he posted that video, I actually had a thought in my head that maybe Kevin Owens would leave WWE. I thought there was hope. I thought there was hope until he came out and said, I'm actually thinking about leaving, which there's no fucking way that they would have him do that if there was a chance he was actually going to leave. Let's watch the last few minutes of MXM versus Private Party, shall we? Oh, I have no doubt in my mind that if KO wanted it, that Tony Khan would pay him significantly more than he's getting in WWE. If it came down to a bidding war and KO just took whoever offered him the most money, he would wind up with AEW. I have no doubt in my mind. Tony Khan has wanted Kevin Owens since the beginning of AEW. That is the guy he would probably pay the most for in free agency, is Kevin Owens. So if it's just about money, he's going to wind up with AEW. But it's not going to be just about money. Here we go. Zay's in the ring. Oh, big little stunner thing in the ropes. I like that. He's really wrestling with such a fire under him right now. I mean, good for Zay. And Marquand too, but Zay, he's come a long way very recently. He's wrestling with so much fire. Zay here. Oh, ooh. Little tilt-a-whirl face breaker. Like that a lot. Oh. Big crossbody on Mansoor. There we go. Oh, they'll kick the. We're trying to twist a fate. No, silly string's not going to work if they see it coming. Oh, giant running Death Valley driver in the corner from Mansoor. Man, get the fuck out of here with people who are trying to compare MXM with the Outjobbers. Get the entire holy fuck out of here with comparing the Outjobbers to MXM because they're both comedy teams. In the ring, there is absolutely no fucking comparison. MXM is so goddamn good. They are so goddamn good. I love watching MXM wrestle. All of their comedy stuff makes perfect sense. It does not detract at all from the in-ring stuff. The only thing the Outjobbers do is comedy. They can't do real wrestling. They can't be this good. If they can, I want to see them try. I've never seen them do it. It's a one-note fucking gimmick. This has 100 notes in it. I love it. I know MXM are probably going to end up losing this, obviously. But they're making Private Party look like $1 trillion. Here's the silly string. No, I... Mace, you can't let him catch you with that. You had to see that coming. Yes, MXM has way more depth in character as well. Oh, they have all kinds of depth in their characters. Like, it's absolutely a gimmick, but there's a layered gimmick. There's so much that they do. The Outrunners are fun, but there's no way people trying to compare. Well, how you can't like MXM if you don't like the Outrunners. Yes, the fuck I can. Absolutely, yes, the fuck I can. Ooh. Oh, more bang for your buck from Private Party to get the victory on MXM. Hoo-wee. Wow. Yeah, they're when in Private Party beating the Bucks is going to be a great moment. It really is. It really is. Yeah. It's going to be great when Private Party wins. Will be excellent. That trios match next week is going to be great. Daniel Garcia with Private Party low-key is a really, really, really great trio to have. I don't think it'll be long before all three of those guys have titles. That'll be a fun part of the upper mid card. Is those all three of those guys with titles. All right, guys. Thanks everybody for being here. Sunday evening? I don't know. It might be Sunday night. But if I can push it up to the evening on Sunday, I'm going to review See No Evil, the Kane horror movie from 2006. I will review it. I say I will because Kate doesn't watch scary movies. But I'm going to tell her the entire plot and all of the jokes that I come up with to make fun of the movie. I'm going to do it in an hour. That's the gimmick. Anytime I review a movie and Kate doesn't, I'm going to try and get through the whole thing in an hour. I'm going to have a little timer that I'm going to show periodically to figure out how much time I have left. So, Sunday night on this very channel on Fightful Select, I'm going to review See No Evil, starring the worst mayor in American history. But until then... They fucking ruined Carmelo and Andrade's Game 7 match with a special guest referee. Everything sucks.